ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We chant verses 7 to 11. Chapter 8. Sorry, chapter 7. Matta paradaram nanya, matta paradaram nanya, kinchidasti dananjaya, kinchidasti dananjaya, mai sarvamidam proktam, mai sarvamidam proktam, सूत्रे मणिगणाइव मत्त परतरं नान्य किञ्चिदस्ति धनञ्जय मयि सर्वमिदं प्रोक्तं सूत्रे मणिगणाइव रसोऽहमप्सुकं देयः रसोऽहमप्सुकं देयः प्रभास्मि शशिसूर्ययोः प्रभास्मि शशिसूर्ययोः प्रणवत्सर्ववेदेषु प्रणवत्सर्ववेदेषु शब्दके पौरुषमृषु शब्दके पौरुषमृषु रसोऽहमप्सुकं देयः प्रभास्मि शशिसूर्ययोः प्रणवत्सर्ववेदेषु शब्दके पौरुषमृषु पुण्यो गन्धपृथिव्यांश पुण्यो गन्धपृथिव्यांश तेजश्चास्मि विभावतौ तेजश्चास्मि विभावतौ जीवनं सर्वभूतेषु जीवनं सर्वभूतेषु तपश्चास्मि तपस्विषु तपश्चास्मि तपस्विषु पुण्यो गन्धपृथिव्यांश तेजश्चास्मि विभावतौ जीवनं सर्वभूतेषु तपश्चास्मि तपस्विषु बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां विद्धिपार्थसनातनं विद्धिपार्थसनातनं बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम् तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम् बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां विद्धिपार्थसनातनं बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम् बलं बलवतामस्मि बलं बलवतामस्मि कामरागविवर्जितं कामरागविवर्जितं धर्माविरुद्धो भूतेषु धर्माविरुद्धो भूतेषु कामोऽस्मि भरतर्षभ कामोऽस्मि भरतर्षभ बलं बलवतामस्मि कामरागविवर्जितं धर्माविरुद्धो भूतेषु कामोऽस्मि भरतर्षभ। This knowledge of self always has very little takers because the entire world is preoccupied in the perceptions, emotions and thoughts, what you call as PET, T-E-D. We are all entangled, enmeshed in the perceptions, emotions and thoughts. So there are hardly any takers for the knowledge of the self. Hardly anybody is even thinking about such things in life. So, when Arjuna asks for the highest, he says, tell me what is good for me. I am confused as to what is my duty. So give me that knowledge. Krishna starts talking. And Krishna is more enthused because Arjuna never said, okay, I have had enough, stop. Right? So even sometimes when Krishna, even sometimes when Arjuna doesn't ask any question, Krishna continues. Some chapters you will find begins with Arjuna's question. Some chapters are not beginning with Arjuna's question. Krishna gives, like this chapter is one like that, where Arjuna never asks any question. But Krishna offers to
explain to Arjuna in detail both knowledge and wisdom. I'll give you both knowledge and wisdom. O Partha, the mind attached to me, practicing yoga daily, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, you completely take refuge in me. Taking refuge in me, meaning you understand that you are not a karta and you are not a bhokta. The Phala Data is Bhagavan. And whatever actions you do, accordingly, Phala is given. So you completely accept. How you shall without doubt know me fully, that you do here, I will give it to you in detail. I will explain to you both knowledge and wisdom. And then he said, among thousands of men, very rarely a person goes after self. Of the person who seeks self, very rarely one attains siddhi, meaning one attains the self. So that is why we always say that this is not for the weakling. Don't unsettle the minds of the ignorant. To be able to aspire for this, you must have risen above the world. And in the sense, you understood the limitations of the world, you have risen above the world. If not, you are better off in working in the world and not leaving it. But from there, you put in your efforts, gain the knowledge. Right? So then he explained the lower aspect of Brahman, the lower Prakriti and the higher Prakriti. The lower Prakriti is composed of eight. What are they? Bhumi, Apa, Analaha, Vayu, Kam, Mano, Buddhi, Ahankar. These put together, and in this we said that he talks about Bhumi, Apa, Anala, Vayu, Kam. He is not talking about the gross elements, he is talking about the subtle elements, the pure elements in its purest form. The elements that you and me know, what we call as gross element, actually is an impure element. Like when you take earth, it has a little bit of space, earth, water, fire. Earth has air, water, fire, space in it. Similarly, air has a little bit of earth, etc. So therefore, what we know, what we see is gross element. When he talks about the five, he's not talking about the gross element, he's talking about the subtle elements. Right? And then he talks about the mind, intellect and ahankar. These all is put together, they combine to become the world. Right? And the Atma is enlivening it and it will become the manifestation. Just like how electricity passing through the bulb, the electricity manifests itself as light. Similarly, Atma, the higher nature, the higher Prakriti, Para Prakriti, uniting with the lower Prakriti, becomes the manifested world. And then in seventh verse, which is a very important verse, in that you want to remember the construction. Sutre Manigana Iva. O Dhananjaya, he says, Matta Parataram Na Anyat. Kinchidasti Dhananjaya. Mayi Sarvamidam Proktam. Mayi Sarvamidam Proktam. In me, all this is strong. Right? O Dhananjaya, Sutre Manigana Iva. Just like how various beads are strung on the string. And when you see the mala, do you see the string? You don't. And you get caught. What a beautiful mala you have. Where did you buy it? Can you tell me the shop? That's what I said. We started off the lecture by saying, you get lost in perception, emotions and thoughts. Even while you are studying, it doesn't stay put. It's very, you know, it's like trying to catch air. You understand? If you only try to say, yes, I got air. It's gone, right? It's not there. It's like that. You're trying to capture the subtlest Atma. With your mind, it's like you want to grasp it. It doesn't. You got to keep on subtilizing your equipment. You got to purify your equipment. That is why we say, in the third chapter itself, we said, you must practice Dhamma, you must practice Shama, and then Jnana. With all these three, you will be able to gain the self. So we are studying the lower prakriti, apara prakriti, combining with para prakriti has manifested as nature. In this, people get lost in the perception. Like you go to the movie knowing very well that you are going there to see a movie. You read the review also. And you have heard stories from many people. Still when you go and see the movie, you get lost in the acting. You come out with tears. You understand? Though you know that it's a fiction, but what has happened? In that fiction, when you went, slowly you lost and you got impacted. So he said, Matta Parataram Na Anya Kinchidasti Dhananjaya. Very interesting choice of word Lord Krishna uses to address Arjuna. What is the word he uses? Dhananjaya. Jaya? Dhananjaya means? Winner of wealth. Dhana means wealth. Dhananjaya means winner of wealth. He is saying, Arjuna, you got all the wealth. Without this wealth, all wealth is useless. It is like bina namak. Food is to be thrown into the garbage. You understand? It's exactly like he said, oh, Dhananjaya, get this. There is nothing higher than this. Meaning, please remember this, I told you this already. Mithya is dependent on Satya. Satya is never dependent on Mithya. When everything that is passing and fleeting, when it passes away, nothing is lost as long as the self remains. But if you do not have the self-knowledge, you think everything is lost. Therefore you finish. You asked a question before the class. How to do that? She asked, the person died. Suddenly death can happen. How is it that can happen? Supposing something happens to me and I'm about to die, how can I die peacefully? This is what it is. What is dying is the body. What is going away is the seed. The person is still there. You understand? That knowledge has to get established. Not intellectual. Going deeper and internal. So he said, there is nothing higher than this. Anybody who thinks the worldly things higher than Atma. I told you, this is not once a Swami was approached by a king with his queen. Both of them fell at the feet of the Swami. And immediately Swami fell at the feet of the king. King said, please don't do this. We are all ordinary mortals. We should be falling at your feet. Why are you falling at our feet? You understand? What are you talking? You are a great man. Then the king said, no, I am nothing. You are great. So the Swami said, okay, how am I great? You tell me, why am I great and how am I great? Then immediately the king said, see, you renounce the whole world. Right? You are sitting under some banyan tree, just doing tapas. You have renounced everything. All your properties, everything you left, you have come here. I have not renounced anything. I am still in the world. You are all great Mahatmas. Therefore I am falling at your feet. You should not fall at my feet. Then he asked, Mahatma asked, no, you are making a mistake. What is the mistake? Just answer the question. Is God superior or world superior? Sir, obviously God superior. The king answered. And he said, I have renounced the world which is inferior, but I am attached to God which is superior. Okay? You are attached to world which is inferior, and you have given away God which is superior. So you are a great renunciate, therefore I must fall at your feet. Basically he is trying to educate him. See, in other words, we have no clarity as to what is higher. In fact, that is why all the sages throughout the world, whichever religion they may belong to, they always looked upon us as ignorant people. But when Jesus Christ was being asked, he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they are doing. When he said they know not what they are doing, what is the meaning? Don't they know that they are harming Jesus Christ? In fact, they wanted to harm him. They wanted to give him excruciating pain. Therefore, they were driving the nails through his palms. Isn't it? Ultimately, they won't do it. They know that it's going to give him pain. Isn't it? They just didn't want to put him off to sleep. Sometimes, you know, they do that. Euthanasia. Though in India, it's not allowed. In some other countries, maybe it's allowed. Or sometimes when you do that to the dogs, the animals, you know, when they suffer, put them off to sleep. Now, the thing is, they did not do that with Jesus Christ. They were harming him because they wanted him to have a very excruciating pain and then die. Isn't it? So even then Jesus Christ is saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. What is he trying to say? Is Jesus Christ not understanding that they don't know the pain that they are causing to him? What is he trying to say when he says they know not? What do they know?
They are doing in their ignorance. They know that they are just hurting the body.
They
shouldn't
do that. Okay. Rita is in a very high level today. But she's right. She's right. There are two answers to it. One answer is that. That is, they think they are harming the body. They are harming him. They can never harm him. They are only harming the body. They know not. If they knew. It's like you are only damaging my shirt thinking that you are damaging me. Right? So ignorant. Correct. Rita is right. What is the next one? Little more down to earth level. What goes around comes around. They do not know that they are actually harming themselves. Understand? If you know that when you develop hatred, when you talk ill words, it's only going to come back to you. You are digging your own grave. Will you do that? You won't. So that is what Jesus is saying. Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. They are ignorant people. They may be educated, but they are ignorant. In the sense, for 2 marks or 5 marks, they repeated that in the exam and they got 5 marks. What goes around, comes around. But when it comes to their life, they have forgotten it. They don't know. They only intellectually, you know, memorized it and vomited it. But they didn't know, really speaking. See, in that sense, so they don't know. So he says, Arjuna, you are also not knowing the higher man. If anybody knows the higher, will they run after the lower? Like you were talking about, before the class, Pooja was talking about, she said, today I'll keep my mobile phone on with your permission, because she's expecting a phone call to come from her daughter any minute, because her friend, daughter's friend passed away, isn't it? Only 28 years old. Suddenly. That's life. Right? The come across situations every day. Right? The other day in the television they were asking for funds for a child which is born with not much developed footprint. So you hear so many things like that. Right? So many things. You have no idea about the higher. Therefore, you only know the lower. Since you know only the lower, you are going on accumulating the lower. Thinking what? 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8, I can go on throughout the class, will bring you, will make it infinite. It will not. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 10 plus, you can go on. If you do that, will it become infinite? It will never become infinite. That which is essentially insecure cannot bring you security. So it is na anyat kinchit, means there is no other thing higher than me, higher than the self. Everything is strung on the string. It's the string that is holding on. If the string snaps, you understand? This mala is having a lot of gaps in between, so you can see the string. If you have more beads, make it tight, then the string will not be seen. Right? But the shape, its firmness, is coming from what? String. If the string snaps, everything goes. You ask yourself in this world, which relationship, whichever relationship that you can think of, is going to come with you forever. The only thing that is there with you all the time, in at times of your joy, sorrow, at all times, is your Atma. And you have no time to look at the Atma. Balastavat kridasattha, tarunastavat taruni sattha, vriddhastavat chinta sattha, parame brahmani kopina sattha. The Mahatma's effort is not to make you scholastic. Please understand this. The idea of us also going on having these weekly classes is not just to make us scholastic. To become a scholar is good, fine. That's not going to take you anywhere. You understand? Their whole thing is what? To shift, to make your attention focus shift from outside to inside. If a Tarifa, you need a guru. You understand the Gita Javan Pandit. You are not a Sanskrit teacher. You understand? He'll come and teach you. The Sanskrit, I'm using your intelligence you use, and you read so many commentaries, you can understand. But what is Krishna trying to do in these verses, if you see? He said, I'll give you both knowledge and wisdom. How will you gain wisdom? I will give you knowledge which will make you look within. Are you with me? By giving you the information which will make you look within, and once you start going inside, you gain wisdom. So that he's going to do from the next verse. He's going to give various pointers. He's going to point you the unseen through the seen. That is the difficulty. Right? So that is what he does from verse number 8 till 11. He'll talk about it in detail in the section. But now he's going to give that. From 8 to 11, he's going to talk about that. The unseen through the seen. And then through the scene, he is going to say, don't get lost in the scene. Within the scene, there is unseen. When you watch the movie, don't get lost in the movie. There is a projector that is projecting. The light is there. Don't forget that. Are you with me? So therefore, he says here, O Dhananjaya, O winner of wealth, gain this wealth, man. It doesn't mean you have to throw all that wealth. This wealth becomes meaningful only with that wealth. Isn't it? Without that, it has no meaning. It has absolutely no meaning. You could have a certificate from the college. You could have gone through the engineering, you could have the certificate. But once the certificate will maximum help you to get a job. But once you are on the job, you should know engineering, huh? Just a degree is not enough. You should know engineering. How to use all the engineering concepts that you have learned in the context that surfaced in a situation. Then you will be able to sustain the job and everything. Similarly, he says, Mayi sarvamidam proktam. In me all this is strong. See, when you see in the movie also they show, right, the internet, you can see in many places, you can see the whole universe, all the, what do you call, the planets and everything, as though hanging in the middle. It's all resting in space. So it is in all this, the unseen connection which is holding it, the substratum is there, and you have no, you never want to be in touch with the substratum. You lost the wealth. later on when he's going to talk about the pointer and show it to you, is that person who is able to be with the substratum. Remember in the Pachukovita Madhya Shankara says, whether in company or alone, he remains alone without feeling lonely. That alone is going to talk about as strength. All other is not strength. Right? So we'll see what are the pointers that he talks about. See, these pointers, as I told you, are like when you read it, the shift happens from the seen to the unseen. But Upanishads, they declare, especially Keno Upanishad says this, says, it is not what you see, but what makes you see. It's not what you hear, but what makes you hear. But you get lost. As he's talking about, it is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. What a wonderful lecture today. What is he saying? What makes you hear, not what you hear. He said, what a wonderful lecture. What has happened to you? You are lost in
the hearing.
What you heard. This is very subtle. As you are trying to whip it, it's not easy. As you try to hold it, it's gone. You think you've got it. You open your eyes, palms, fingers, nothing is there. It's gone, escaped. It's like that. So he says, from 8 to 11 is going to be various pointers. You've got to reflect on that. We keep saying, no, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. What is Shravana mean? Hearing, reading. Manan means reflecting. Nididhyasana means meditating upon. You've got to meditate, focus, concentrate and think about these pointers that he gives. Then it will make you go inside. That's the idea. But what happens is, I bring a mirror in front of you. You start admiring the mirror. Oh, is it Belgian mirror? Where did you buy this mirror from? This quality seems to be different. You understand? Exactly like that, scripture is a mirror. Mirror ke dwara, you have to go inside. But you get lost in the scriptures. Whether it is the first case or the second case or the seventh case, how does it matter? I mean, it is needed to some extent. I'm not ridiculing it. I'll never do, I mean, it's wrong. We are not ridiculing the Sanskrit language or anything. You understand? So it's a wonderful language. But it's a mirror that the Guru is trying to show. See, Lord Krishna, or people like Lord Krishna, masters, will never put one word more or take away one word less. They will only put a word because it's important and will make you go inside. Their whole attempt is, they'll go on trying to make you look within. Because seventh time you fail, eighth time they think, at least this time we'll be able to look within and see. Once you grasp it, you grasp it. You could have been the worst sinner, but the moment you saw it, all things get destroyed. You remember in 6th chapter he said, you could have been the Mahapapi. But all you require, like I told you, you could have the biggest bundle of dry hay. But all you need is one matchstick. Isn't it? You could have done all the pop. All that you require is a little spark of awareness. So you got to use all this to look within, not get lost in it. But some of the pointers are really beautiful. Rasohamapsu Kaunteya, Rasohamapsu Kaunteya, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, Pranavat Sarva Vedeshu, Sarva Vedeshu, Shabdakke Pauru Sambrushu, Shabdakke Pauru Sambrushu, Rasohamapsu Kaunteya, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, Pranavat Sarva Vedeshu, Deshu, Shabdakke Paulu Shandrushu. O Kauteya, O Kunti Putra, Arjuna, I am the sapidity in waters. I am the radiance in sun and moon. The Pranava, O in all the Vedas. Shabda K means what? Space in, sorry, sound in space. Shabda means sound. Shabda K means sound in space. Then he says, Paurusham Dushu. The Purushatvam in men. Here is Purushatvam in all Purushas. See, when the word Purusha is used by, say, a master like Krishna, they mean woman also. Because I told you, Puri is the city. Purusha is the one who is in the city. Right? So in other words, the city of a woman, the city of a man is different. But the embodied jiva is the same. So they don't have to talk separately about women. When he says, Shabdakke Paurusham Drishu. Paurusham Drishu doesn't mean that, why he is not talking about women then? He is talking about the Purushatvam. He is not interested in the Purusha. Here the word Purusha is not the ultimate Purusha, absolute Purusha. The man or woman. He is talking about the Purushatvam. I told you, he is only interested in making you see the inside. You are lost in the outside. So he says, I am Rasoha Mapsukamdeya. Mapsu means what? Water. I am the Rasa. He is talking about all the water bodies. When you see different juice, you don't know whether it is a mixed juice or a mango juice or orange juice. You understand? You sip it. The moment you sip, the experience is alagana. Are you with me? The rasa, the taste, that I, that experiential truth which is in all this. Right? That is me. The sapidity in what? Water per se has no taste. But water helps you to have taste. So that sapidity in the very water is me. Meaning the very essence, the rasa. That experiential thing is me. In other words, we are all talking about many things. But if you yourself did not have the experience, what is the use of it? Isn't it? So he says, I am the sapidity in water, the essence. Then he says, radiance in sun and moon. Moon has radiance borrowed from sun. So it's a borrowed light from sun, reflected light. The direct source of light is sun. But when you see the sun, you are to be reminded of the radiance of the sun from far away. How far away the sun is, right? And without the sun, and without the moon, life is not possible here, right? And that radiance is me, the inside, not what you see. You see water, you see sun and moon, and earth and everything. That's not me. I am the inside radiance. Then, the Pranava in Vedas. Why he says Pranava in Vedas? Pranava is the mantra Om. Right? Why does he say mantra Om is me?
That's the essence of the
Vedas. Om is called as the Bija mantra. Now, Om encompasses all sound in it. The entire range of sound. Understand? When you chant Om, Om, you really chant that Om and experience that the way it should be chanted, like Om. You'll see it's hitting the nabi. You understand? It strikes at the very source of life. So what happens? Om functions like a hammer. You understand? The chanting of mantra Om functions like a hammer, tapping and helping you to raise the kundalini, the very life force. And when the life force starts rising within you and climbs through the body and teaches the sastra, you read that. You understand? So therefore, he says in all the Vedas, what is important is to rise your focus should be, the flow should be turned upward, not downward. But people get lost in karmakanda. People get lost in karmakanda, and from there you come out, they get lost in the knowledge. There is the arguing. Advaita is superior than the Vishishta Advaita. Vishishta Advaita fellow will say, you fellows don't know anything, only I am superior. Then both of the fellows, they will not agree with Vaitins. You understand? There, if you see, hardly anybody is interested in going within and raising the life force and reaching the sastra. So he says, I am the pranava in Vedas. Because the pranava mantra, when it is used properly after taking initiation from the guru, will help you to change the flow of your energy towards the self. That is me. So wonderful. See, the whole thing, he's only interested in this. You can chant the Vedas backwards and forwards. He's not interested. Has it helped you to turn inward? Then yes. See, Hanumanji was given a mala. He puts it to his ears. He did not say Ram, he threw it. If Vedas will not make me turn towards the Atma within, then what is the use of the Vedas? Are you with me? That's the key. The Om mantra is the key. You've been given everything without the Om, which means what? You can never open and go inside. Yeah, that is the beauty of the lock. You understand? It's a fascinating lock. Because nobody could open it. For the last so many years, all thieves have tried. They could not enter. Hey, Baba, the Om key is within you, which has been given in the Vedas. Why are you not utilizing it? And that, once you use, that's the key which will open the whole knots, everything. Then he says, Shabda ke, sound in space. Now what is the sound in space? When you see space, do you see sound there? You see or you don't see? You don't see space, sound in space. But sound travels in space. Right? Somebody, like for example, I am speaking now. You are hearing. This sound is traveling in this space. The interesting thing is, somebody is talking somewhere, live commentary going on. Right? Cricket match or some Olympics, something is going on. From there, they are giving live commentary and they are hearing after a few seconds. Vedanta says, Masters tell us, if this is something that you see happening today, what? Live commentary. You see all this cricket commentators commenting from London. The match is happening in lots, sitting there and commenting. And you are hearing, with the seconds difference would be maximum 5 seconds or 10 seconds. If in 10 seconds you are able to hear the sound that the commentator made miles away, what does it mean? What do you understand from that? If there was Krishna, if there was Jesus, if there was Prophet Muhammad, and he had spoken the words Gita, that sound is still recorded and captured in space. Then you may ask, why am I not receiving it? You know the answer. What is the answer?
Tuning.
Your instrument is not tuned to that frequency. And based on this only they say, all the Shabda that you make are getting recorded in space. And the subtle Shabda is your thoughts. Therefore they say, might as well develop, think pure thoughts. Because you think it's all going into nothing. No. You understand? Your thoughts, your sound, everything is getting recorded in the universe. And what is recorded in the universe, accordingly you will be receiving. Therefore, you be careful about what you say. Lulitam. Shabda, that's why that some of the pointers are fascinating pointers. Shabda ke. Then Paurusham Rishu. The Purushatva. The essence, the capacity. Right? The Purushatvam that Mahatma Gandhiji had, he was not Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. Right? But the Purushatva that he had, it's coming from where? Because he had a lofty ideal. Right? That lofty ideal was generating that capacity in him. Handle. Therefore, that highest source of energy is coming from within, that mind. Next verse. Punyo Gandha Prithivyamcha Punyo Gandha Prithivyamcha Tejaschasmi Vibhavasau Tejaschasmi Vibhavasau Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu Tapaschasmi Tapasvishu Tapaschasmi Tapasvishu Punyo Gandha Prithivyamcha Tejaschasmi Vibhavasau Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu Tapaschasmi tapasvishu. This is also a very fascinating pointer. And he says, Punya Gandha Prithivi. Prithivi means earth. He doesn't say Gandha in Prithivi is me. He qualifies it. It is Punya Gandha. Prithvi has Gandha, you know that, na? The fragrance. When it rains, you could feel the smell of the earth. He qualifies it by saying Punya Gandha. Very, very interesting. Many of these pointers are like this. Later on, he's got to say, and intelligence in the intelligent. If Brahman is everywhere, why is he saying only intelligence and intelligent? Why is he talking about only Punya Gandha? Why is it only Punya Gandha?
Because both are different.
What?
It's nice smell, Punya Gandha.
So how is it associated with Brahman?
Because both exist.
He's saying, I am the sweet fragrance in earth. I am the sweet fragrance in earth, Punya Gandha.
The original. Some mix, choose, and you're fine. Both exist and you have to, like, you know, choose which path you're going to take. Whether you're going to be focusing on the growth of the nature. Both, since all of us and everything is made up of the good and the bad. So the good is the path toward Krishna and enlightenment. And the bad is what you want to leave behind.
So because these obviously not the bad smell.
Yeah.
The sweet smell, they are bad and good and good. The sweet smell.
Punya Gandha Prithivi Amcha. Prithivi and Punya Gandha. The body odor, when you have pure thoughts vis-a-vis lustful thoughts, you understand? It is said that Mahavir is there, people who are subtle, they could feel the Punya Gandha coming from his body due to the tapas. He has purified his thoughts, as a result of which you could feel the pure fragrance vis-a-vis the stinging smell that comes from the kamavasana. But you may say, well, we are not feeling anything. You know, two alcoholics, when they smelling each other, they will not be able to smell each other. But the other fellow who is there, he said, my God, man, where is thinking? You understand? It's exactly the same thing. So he says, Punya Gandha, when your thoughts are rising towards the higher, the body order is different.
and the thoughts are going downward. When you are dissipating your energy in the lower channels, the Gandha that comes from the body is not me. You understand? But when you are energy is raising towards the Sahasrara, then the Gandha that comes is pure, because it's coming from the root. See, he is interested in the roots, but he has to point to you the tree. But his focus is not that. You know, when he tries to point the tree, you get lost in the tree, or you get lost in the finger. But what is he trying to point?
The tree.
What is that? As for the tree.
The roots.
He is pointing the tree. The pointer is his finger. The tree is what he is pointing at apparently. But what is he trying to talk about when pointing the tree? The root. It is neither the pointer nor the pointed, but the essence which is he is trying to point through the pointer. So he says, Punya Gandha Prithivyam. Then he said, brilliance in fire, the heat and brilliance in fire. The tejas, when you talk, you know, like sometimes you say, my God, it's so hot. Imagine, sun being so far away, right? You are feeling the heat. If you are walking closer and closer to sun, what will happen? You feel the heat much more. So he says that luminosity, that brilliance that you see in the sun, that essence is me. That you see in the fire, that essence is me. In other words, it is the consciousness that is reflected as fire. But you get lost in the fire. He is covering all the Bhumi, Apa, Anala, Vayu, Kam. He doesn't talk about Vayu here directly, but you have to add Vayu. In the previous verse and this verse, if you see, he is covering the entire universe. He is trying to say, basically he is trying to say this much only, that all these perceptions when it happens, you got to be what? Very watchful. How? Not to get lost in the perception. But all our complaints will be what? He's taken my purse. He's got a blue color purse which I don't have. You understand? Basically, all our complaints are about the perception level. What is he talking about? You be alert even through this perception. In fact, the only job we have come here to do is to be a watchman. You got to be watchful. So that's what he's saying. If you want to gain the self within, become watchful. Right? So he says, brilliance in fact. Then, I am the life in all beings. Jivanam sarva bhuteshu. In all the beings, I am the jivanam. I am the life enlivening force. Without atma enlivening, there will be no life. But I am not the life. And the life enlivening force. Like when you see the electricity passing through the bulb and brilliant expression of light, electricity is talking here, it's saying I am not the light, but I am the life force behind the light. Now this you are sitting and studying, but when you see the brilliant expression of light, are you aware? Then what will happen? Nothing that happens outside will drag you. Understand? Once you have been dragged, then you say, now how do I rectify? All our lives, we are dragged, rectified. Ek din khatam. This is what we are doing. He is saying, while the brilliance is seen, you must be aware of this sentence. That's why I said, nididhyasana, meditation. Jivanam sarva, you can take all of, even one or two is enough.
Right, whichever is inspiring to you, you take that. And that can pull you. You meditate on it. And he said, I am the Pranavaya Vedas. Shabda ke paurusham dishu. Anything you can take. Or this, what he's trying to say here, and the light in all things, jivanam sarva bhuteshu. It's very interesting. And that's why I explained to you, a lot of people get confused here. When you see death, what is happening? The life enlivening force is there or not?
No.
Swatma is not there.
After
the
body is gone. From the body.
Go back to third chapter again.
It is just there, but the covering is gone. No, body is gone.
I explained to you, frame A, frame B.
What is the frame?
What's the question? The question is, when a person dies, is the Atma there or not?
Yeah, Atma is there. I mean, Atma may be anywhere.
Atma
is there.
Like,
it's my Atma is not there.
But Atma is there. What are you saying, Gita? You are saying Atma is there and Atma is not there.
No, Atma is there, body is there. Atma is not inside the body necessarily.
But Atma is there, like this,
Atma is there.
Second chapter and third chapter, we discuss these things elaborately. Verse number 11 to 25, Lord Krishna spoke in the second chapter, especially in verse number 22, he said, Vasam Chijinani Yata Vihaya, this body is only a gesture. There I explain to you, frame A, frame B. In that frame A, there is a mirror fitted in. In frame B, there is no mirror fitted. Okay? Is the sunlight falling on both the frames or not?
Yes. Yes.
Only three people are saying.
Yes.
Only three again. Yes, right?
Yes.
Sunlight is falling on both frame A and
B.
In frame A it is fitted with mirror. In frame B there is no mirror fitted. But sunlight is falling. Where you will see the reflection?
A.
A. Because there is mirror. Frame B with mirror? Nahi hai. Therefore no
reflection.
Now I unscrew the mirror from frame A. Put it in, screw it in frame B. Now sunlight is falling on both the mirrors, both the frames are marked.
Yes.
Is there reflection in frame A?
No.
The reflected sun has moved from frame A to frame B. This is death. In other words, frame A and B are the two different bodies. Mirror is the Sukshma Sharira. Tika? Mind intellect. Sukshma Sharira. And consciousness is, in the example, pure consciousness or Atma is, in the example, equated to what?
The
sunlight. Tika? And in the example, Lakshmi Narayan, Madhusri, Manjari is what?
Reflection.
Reflected sun. Shivani is a reflected sun. Rita is a reflected sun. Madhushri is a reflected sun. Ami is a reflected sun. Everybody is a reflected sun. Are you seeing? So, frame A, frame B, body. Gross body, mirror, subtle body, sunlight, pure consciousness. The pure consciousness, the sunlight hitting the frame, A which is fitted with mirror, comes up reflected sun. The reflected sun is named as Lakshmi Narayan. Then when you say Lakshmi Narayan dies, what is going on there? The mirror, the subtle body, is transferred from one cross body from frame A to another cross body frame B in the medium of sunlight, the pure consciousness. So pure consciousness is there in frame A and frame B, dono mein. We studied in the second chapter again that Atma is neither a product of the body nor property of the body, right? Nor is it limited by the boundaries of the body. It is inside and outside. It is both transcendent and immanent. It is both transcendent and immanent. Like fish is living in water, like that we are all living in pure consciousness, the reflected sun. You don't talk about that in verse number 12. I don't want to finish it now. When we get there, I'll talk about it. The reflected sun is in the sun. Isn't it? There's gone. Actually, there is no loss. It has been reflected in this. Now it's moved to the other mirror. Yes. It's neither.
So the question was something different. The question was that...
I asked the question.
Yes.
The question is, in frame A, when the mirror has been removed...
That's the question. But
when you die, there's the Atma.
So the question?
If someone is dead, what is happening?
Where is the Atma?
Arre Baba, after listening to the whole story, now you are saying, when someone is dead, what is happening? I'm saying, when someone is dead, Sukshma Sharira has moved. Yeah. But the gross body is there, no? You are seeing the gross body.
Yeah.
Okay? Sukshma Sharira has moved. So what is moved? Reflected sun has moved. Sukshma Sharira has moved. But pure consciousness udhar bhi hai. Sunlight uske upar bhi hai na. So pure consciousness udhar bhi hai. Lekin Sukshma Sharira, wo reflect karne ka tarika hai. Wo nahi hai.
The breath has gone.
The Sukshma Sharira nahi hai. Isliye reflection udhar nahi hai. It's not the sunlight is not there.
So Atma is all pervading.
Exactly. Atma is there in dead body also. So Atma is not moved from one body to another. Atma is all pervading. Pure consciousness is all pervading. Do you understand or not?
Yes.
So in death, the ability to reflect over.
These five understood. Those two little difficult. Do you understand sunlight is all pervading?
Mm.
The example?
Yes.
No, you forget to. You all understood. Swami and Madhusri. Only have to answer. Do you understand that example? Sunlight is all pervading both in frame A, which is fitted with mirror, frame B, which is not fitted with mirror. Sunlight is over. Hey, can
you? No, you understand.
1 minute. Half don't know. Hey, can
you?
What is your thing?
Understood.
So when I shift the mirror from frame A to frame B, is the sunlight still falling on frame A or not?
It is.
Is it? Then why you say there is no reflection? Only because the mirror has moved. Atma has not moved. Sunlight has not moved. The mirror, the Sukshma Sharira has moved. Are you with me? So when a person dies, the death is defined as this in Vedanta. It says, when Sukshma Sharira along with Karana Sharira, that is, the subtle body along with Vasana, move away from one gross body, the Stula Sharira, to another gross body in the medium of pure consciousness, it's called it. I repeat.
So the difference between the dead and the alive is what? The Atma.
Sukshma Sharira.
The ability to reflect.
The mirror. And depending upon the mirroring capacity, the mirroring differs. That's all. You understand? So therefore, now how are we connecting that here? Because here we studied, he talks about and the life in all beings. So the life and living force, for example, another example I'll give you. Electricity is passing through the bulb. Okay? But the bulb is not giving out light. Which means what? Bulb is dead. When you say bulb is dead, वहाँ पर इलेक्ट्रिसिटी है क्या नहीं? उसका अंदर इलेक्ट्रिसिटी पास हो रहा है क्या नहीं? लेकिन क्या हुआ उधर? Fuse means what?
Mirror.
the
content the filament is given away.
Yeah, the
content filament has snapped. Clear? Electricity is going there, but the tungsten filament has snapped. Therefore, electricity will be here. The tungsten filament is snapped. Similarly, consciousness उधर भी है बट उसका रिफ्लेक्ट करने वाली सूक्ष्म शरीर चलेगी. सो आई एम द लाइफ इन ऑल बीइंग्स, द एनलिविंग फोर्स. आई शुड नॉट बी अंडरस्टूड एज लाइफ, द लाइट. लाइट इज डिफरेंट, द इलेक्ट्रिसिटी इज डिफरेंट. देयरफॉर आई गॉट दिस. नेक्स्ट, ऑस्टेरिटी इन एसेटिक्स. तपस्चास्मि तपस्वी. What is that? Austerity in the ascetics means what?
Discipline.
Then?
Austerity is what means an ascetic in ascetics.
See, it's like saying, I'm the sugar in sweet. Without the sugar, it will not be sweet. Similarly, without austerity, you will not be an ascetic. So the real essence in an ascetic is what? Austere living.
Not that kedua vastra, because Haridwar and all, everybody is wearing a kedua dress. That doesn't make them ascetic.
That doesn't make you ascetic at all. Sometimes it may be a style statement. You understand? It can become a style statement. Are you with me? I am not saying it, you will know it. So, it is not, it's got nothing to do with that. It's to do with the ability to be simple. You understand? See, in the austere person, the senses are listening to him. He is not listening to the senses. So, the I am the austerity in an ascetic, meaning I am the master of all the senses. I am the self. That is the austerity in ascetic means. Without the discipline, without the austerity. See, when you talk about discipline also, you understand it wrongly. Therefore, I am saying, in any contact, if you are austere or not, will depend upon who is the master. Isn't it? You control the senses, isn't it? Not the other way around. You may be wearing upper robe, but senses are controlling you. Then you are not an ascetic. You may be in what do you call that? Designer clothes, but you may be an austere person, isn't it? That capacity is coming from the self. That is me. So in other words, anything you see, he is trying to shift your focus to the essence and not the surface. See, in life, that's the whole thing. We suffer because our attention is upon the surface. The moment we are able to go to the essence, little deeper, we will not suffer. You see the rainbow, you get carried away. But if you stop, pause by question, then the rainbow vanishes. So the person who has the ability to stop, pause and look, the trouble runs. The person who runs away from the troubles follow him. Swami Vivekananda, in his own life it has happened. He was walking along the Ganges and a few monkeys were coming behind him. He started running. He himself talks about it. And other fellow was coming in the opposite direction when Swami was coming. He asked him, why are you running? Beta, what is happening? He said, no, some monkeys are chasing me, so I'm running. He said, okay, no problem, stop. Thrust. Stare at the monkeys, he said. He took courage, he had faith in the Master. He turned, stared at the monkeys. The monkeys stopped and they started moving away. So this he uses to explain this concept. He says the troubles follow you when you run. The moment you stop, stare, the troubles vanish. It's exactly like the snow will be there only as long as the sun is out. As long as the sun is not out. The moment the sun is out, what happens? Snow is not there. The moment within you the sun arises, you understand, senses will not wag its tail. You are an austere person when you are closest to the self. So therefore, I am the austerity in the austere person. Today you are far away from the self, therefore senses are doing bhatanatyam in our personality. They demand, then it's like, deny padega. Understand? Eyes are asking, deny padega. Nose is asking, deny padega. क्यों? क्योंकि आप बहुत दूर है सेल्फ से. You understand? So self, when you get closer and closer to the self, the sun within, the snow, the senses will all behave. You will be austere. So I am the austerity in the ascetic. The real ascetic person is moving closer and closer to the self. I told you, upavas is not denying food. What does upavas mean? Vas also has the meaning of residing. But see, upavas means dwelling within. That is austerity, na? Austerity is what? I am doing austerity. What? Watching TV. You understand? If you are doing austerity, I am not against watching TV. Right? We all watch TV. But the point is, when you say upavas, you are residing closer to the Atma. That is austerity. That is what he says. I am the austerity in the ascetics. Bijam maam sarva bhutanam, bijam maam sarva bhutanam, vidyipartha sanatanam, vidyipartha sanatanam, buddhir buddhimatam asmi, buddhir buddhimatam asmi, tejas tejasvinamaham, tejas tejasvinamaham, bijam maam sarva bhutanam, vidyipartha sanatanam, buddhir buddhimatam asmi, tejas tejasvinamaham. O Partha, Viddhi means know. Know me as the eternal seed of all beings. Bijam means seed. Bijam maam, I am the seed. What seed? Sanatanam bijam. Bijam maam, sarva bhutana, Viddhi, know. O Partha has this sanatanam bijam. Sanatanam bijam means what? Eternal seed. As long as you have not shifted your focus of attention to the seed, the samsara continues for eternity. The moment you shifted the focus upon the seed, the samsara that apparently has been continuing for so many janmas, khatam ho gaya. Right? We can think of the example of waking and dream state. In the dream, I ask you, all of you, 45, 55, 65, whatever age you say, but the dream is only 3 minutes or 2 minutes, a minute old. But you have created 65 years in it, not just 65. You say, my age is 65, my mother's age is 25, which means you are accounting for 90. Then you say, my grandmother who passed away, she is 125, she would have been 125 by now, etc. You are actually talking about eternity. All these eternal dreams actually just came in you. Eternal dream has stopped. Right? The bijam is Atma. The moment you turn your focus of attention towards the Atma, all the samsara is gone. I told you, the example of Gulliver.
while you were sleeping, and the sleepwalkers, they thought they could time where you were, right? And they were working full 24 hours, time the believer, right? And he was absolutely unaware. So Gulliver is equivalent to Atma in this example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Lilliputans and other senses and all that, the entire samsaric cycle. Gulliver, he was absolutely aware. Gulliver is concerned no foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
He was not at all aware of anything. Just when he woke up, all he did is just touch the light. But in after the thing, all the foundation. So in other words, when you wake up from the dream, when you identify with the waker, the entire dream, however big the dream could have been, however terrible the dream could have been, however brilliant and beautiful the dream would have been, it all vanished. The moment Rama's feet touched the stone, Bharat. Huh? Mahalya, Papa Vimochan. You understand? The moment Rama's feet touched the Ahalya, that instant, Papa Dharma. So that's what he's saying here. It's fascinating. He says, Bijanma. And that Sanatana Bijam. The problem is, you are all the time looking and staring, you're mesmerized, you're going along with the name, samsara, you're going on increasing the dream, making it bigger and bigger. All you need to do is shift from the tree to the seed. All the waves have come from the ocean. Ocean is the Bijam. God is there, ignorance of the truth, reality has created the, you have projected the whole thing. And once you have projected that, then you create your own entanglement. First thing you do is, you project an individuality. And from that all the samsara. So very thing you are asking, the very individual itself is a fiction.
Mm-hmm.
That if you see, that is what he says, the eternal seed. And then, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Buddhir buddhi matam asmi. Can you explain this to me? If he says, Buddhir buddhi matam asmi, then can you say, I am the dullness in the dullness? Because Atma is everywhere, no? If Atma is everywhere, can we say, can Atma say, I am the dullness in the dullness? If I am the buddhi, buddhi mata.
Mm.
The intelligence and intelligence. Can Atma not say, I am the dullness in the dullness? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
Because if Atma is the higher form, then dullness is not the highest form of a dullard, right? So if he is the intelligence in an intelligent person, that's the highest form of that person. That is intelligence. I mean, intellect is the form. So how much you develop your intellect. The dull person doesn't develop it, he doesn't keep the intellect,
which is pure form. Which is, like he said, me. Dullness is tamas, you know.
Tamas,
yeah. So dullness is not, that means his ignorance and level, that aura of ignorance is more, that means he hasn't really tried to, how can that be his self? I mean, self is very obscure.
Correct. Self is all knowledge. Self is all knowledge. It is clarity. It is brilliance. Self has no ignorance in it. Like if you go to Mr. Sun, Mr. Sun, will Mr. Sun have darkness in him?
Yeah.
He will not know what is darkness. Are you with me? Are you with me? Darkness is only with reference to the people who are in earth. The earth is revolving, as a result of which we are plunged in darkness. Similarly,
Dullness is not the state of Atma. The state of Atma is brilliant. The state of Atma is intelligence. The state of Atma is what? Consciousness, chitta. You understand? It is not dullness. But it is covered with avarna, ignorance. Therefore you are dull. So even a dull person is actually not dull. Inside is intelligence. It's like 10,000 watt bulb is covered with 10 million thick blankets, black blankets. Therefore the brilliance is not seen. But when the blankets are removed, it's a brilliant boy. The brilliance of that boy is the brilliance of the Atma reflecting. Why? His chitta shuddhi ho gaya. Abhi hum logon ko chitta shuddhi nahi hai, isliye dull lagta hai. Lekin Atma jo andar hai, wo shuddhi hai, always. It is never dull. So therefore he says, I am the brilliance in the brilliant. I am the intelligence in the intelligent. In fact, he should say, I am the intelligence in the dull-headed. Then you will get confused. Therefore, he doesn't say. Because in the dull-headed also, the potential intelligence is there. So he is always intelligent. He is never the dullness. Are you with me? And then, the splendor of the splendid. Tejas, Tejasvinamah. See, when we talk about Tejas, a lot of people think about the halo and all that. He's not talking about the grass. He's talking about the brilliance that the person has, which is coming because of the clarity, which is the destruction of the ego and attachment. Our Tejas is destroyed by the brilliance, by the attachment and ego. When that is gone, the entire personality becomes a light personality. That is what he says. The whole personality is glowing with light, with clarity. Every pore of the personality is, you know, emanating clarity. We'll look about it a little more in detail next week.
पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्छते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. मनसेन्द्रियैवः बुद्ध्यात्मनावा बुद्ध्यात्मनावा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि अध्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.